all boils down to what you really believe. Mm-hmm. And I think affirmations are great, but it's a band-aid if your identity isn't.
If your subconscious isn't there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Hi guys, welcome back to a new episode of Synced Up. I'm your host, Sabrina, and today I am joined by an amazing guest. She is just wise beyond her years, all about manifesting energy, the art of seduction, magnetic energy. Just, she is the queen of it all. Also career queen, girl boss, everything. So welcome Yasmin to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here.
So excited.
So Yasmin and I first met at Soho House. We were all doing work there. Oh my god, the muffin's ready.
Oh,
muffin's ready, girl.
Should I?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, guys, I'm making cookies right now, and the oven just turned on, so brief hold. Okay.
I'm going to do it for, like, 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's so real. I feel like just over, like, burnt cookies, like, they, like, cook more once you take them out, too.
So true.
Yeah.
8 minutes. Okay. So... Yasmin and I met at Soho House, and I was just so taken by your, like, confidence. Like, you just felt so grounded and confident, and I remember you were giving me advice about self-esteem and just, like, owning where I was at in my life, about things that I was a little bit ashamed of, maybe. And you just had this, like, confident approach, and you were like, you are it. Like, you cannot let anything, or men especially, kind of tell you how to feel about yourself, and, like, you have nothing to be ashamed of. And it was just, like, your approach and confidence and groundedness, and I was just like, oh my god, I really like you, and I want to continue talking to you. So, do you want to just, like, tell us a little bit about your story? Because I know that you have a really interesting manifestation story with your career. And just, like, anything that you want people to know about you?
Yeah, well, I started a brand called Moonkiss Collective when I was... I mean, I guess I started it my junior year in college, but it took off my second semester, my senior year. And that's kind of just... I mean, that's, like, the work that we were doing at Soho House. That's why I work from home. I think I always knew I wanted to be... or have my own business, like, in, like, a very passive way. Like, it wasn't an ambition as much as it was just, like, I just, like, know that that's what it's gonna be. But I had no idea that I would be working, like, that I would have a clothing brand. That's what it is. It's
a
clothing brand. Yeah.
Well, and it's, but, like, so for the girls.
It is for the girls. So I was gonna say, like, I had no idea, like, how it would take form. But... it took form as a clothing brand, and...
Well, how did it start?
Yeah, I'm, like, kind of explaining it. It's so hard to, like, tell stories about myself. But yes,
I'll help guide you. I'll just ask you questions. And
yeah, perfect.
So how did it start? Like, what was the idea? What was the first step?
Yes, the idea was... I mean, I was, like, very much raised by the internet. Mm-hmm. Very much raised by the internet as a kid. And I always just had in the back of my mind that I wanted to carve out my own space online. And, like, after high school, I started a blog, but didn't really keep up with it because it was, I mean, starting a blog with no platform is, like, kind of, like,
it's
talking
really
to a wall.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Especially because, I mean, just attention economy, like, people aren't reading long-form articles in the way that they used to. So, whatever, that kind of, like, took pit. And then just when I kept working in social media, and one day it was like towards the end of 2020 and just lots of time thinking during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in my hometown at my house and I saw, I think now I'm forgetting the name of the brand. It was called, oh, the Mayfair Group. They sell like hoodies, but I was just looking at their page and I noticed that yes, they were selling hoodies, but they were actually a PR company. And that kind of planted a seed in my mind of like, you can capture somebody's attention with an aesthetic vehicle and do something in the background that is more generative or at least like, I don't know if generative was the right word, but you could essentially have a merch line for whatever company mm-hmm. you want. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, just wanting to carve out a space online, I thought, okay, I want to work with other female creatives because I grew up in a small town where like creative work wasn't the forefront, very much like the suburbs of Northern California. And I always kind of felt like that's why I turned online, was to like see similar people mm-hmm. and, you know, like see things that I wouldn't see just like leaving my house, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, like what if it was somewhat of like an artist conglomerate, and the way that we capture people's attention is by putting the artwork on a piece of clothing. Cause I was like, if the girls care about anything, they care about clothes, including myself. And yeah, I think it just started really that general. And even though I had done so much work in branding, because that was like my social media work, I went against all correct advice. And I started it extremely vague, black and white, like no specific, I mean, I guess the specific vibe was just I would post things that I naturally gravitated mm-hmm. towards, like literally straight from my Tumblr feed. Mm-hmm. But really, I wanted it almost to be chameleon because I thought, okay, if I am working with other people and their stylistic, you know, their own style, I want to create the brand as like an ambiguous thing. And that kind of shifted when I did this particular collaboration. It's called the Love Letter Tank. It's still on our website. I collaborated with a British designer. Her name is Hedy Godman, and we printed essentially like a notes app entry I wrote. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
to an ex that I never sent. And we printed it on a tank top. And once that went viral, it really honed in like a certain audience. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I mean, like now they can call it like the Coquette aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And ever since that shirt, it was kind of just me like responding to that wave and creating more that align with that, which ended up being really natural because that's how I am as well. Like I'm mm-hmm. very, like I'm a romantic and mm-hmm. yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I have so many
questions.
So
that was a long.
No, but, that was yeah. amazing. Yeah. So how long, like how did you build an audience? Because mm-hmm. I know I get messages like, how do I become an influencer? Or like, I think people want to become influencers so that they have a platform so they can do what you do. Like they can sell something that's aligned with
right.
their brand or aesthetic. And like what you said, any brand can create merch.
Right.
So how did you start to build that audience? And also with the notes tank top that you did with Hedy.
Mm-hmm.
What's her last name?
Godman.
Godman?
Yeah. I actually don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay.
But
well,
Hedy Godman. Well,
Miss Hedy.
I'll tag her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that went viral. What platforms were you using? Like, how did it go viral? What was it, a video? Like, do you think it went viral because it was a collab with her? Like, did her audience help? Like, what was the kind of strategy behind that? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, so that's a good question because we had collaborated with other artists before and nothing really, like, hit the internet the way that the Love Letter Tank did. Of course, you can never fully say. Here are a few factors. I was definitely, that's when I started posting on TikTok, and it was mm-hmm. during the gold rush era of TikTok mm-hmm. that I don't think is there anymore. But the algorithm was truly just quantity and consistency. And before the point of like posting the first video in Love Letter Tank, which was not a special video. It's actually really funny. Ready?
Wait. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Literally the question that I'm like all ears.
No, you're good. That's what editing's for.
Oh, shit. They all come together.
Oh, that's okay. When you remove it, you can cut it.
Whoa. This is interesting. Ugh, I keep fucking them up. I think I added too much butter. Whatever.
It's gonna taste bomb.
Okay, so
okay.
this was in the TikTok gold rush
era. I don't think the video in particular was anything special. I can say, like, I literally, I got the tank top and I walked over to my roommate and she had just woken up from a nap. And I was like, could you just try this on? I'm just going to take a video to send to Hedy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, sure. She was like wearing one of those like sleep onesies. So she mm-hmm. like literally unbuttoned it, rolled it. She was like, do you want me to like put on a skirt or something? And I was like, no, it doesn't matter. She like rolled it down, put on the tank top, and I took a video, and I mean, her hair looks beautiful, but it was like really like a rolled down pajama
mm-hmm.
in the tank top.
That's probably what people liked though.
Just casual, and it like looked like maybe someone individually posted it and a company mm-hmm. did it, like maybe that could have been it. But I took the video, sent it to Hedy, and then I just was editing it, like moved some things around, put like Space Song by Beach House in the background mm-hmm. or something like that. And I posted it and I woke up the next day, and this is when we were just starting. So a video had never gotten that much attention before. It had like thousands of likes.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but like my Shopify, it was like a lot of sales. So there was like a high level of like engagement mm-hmm. there. And I was like, oh, well, cool. Like,
yeah.
You know? And then to kind of answer your question about Hedy, definitely her role in it was found that like audience you were mm-hmm. asking about, because Hedy is, she's still doing this. She's like kind of like an OOTD influencer. She would post her outfits a lot. Again, she's located in England, and you know, she has that very like perfect, she looks like a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's this beautiful like light orange hair, and she puts bows in it
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you know, wears all the, again, the coquette,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
all the tights, everything. So
yeah.
of course I gave her a shirt, she was posting it, and then that audience flew over. But long term, the way that I think that audience actually stayed and rooted, and it wasn't one off, because it was also authentic to me.
Mm-hmm.
So although I
posed your note, yeah.
Yeah, it was my notes app entry.
Yeah.
And I think like a huge theme in my life has always been like this like romantic limerence and
mm-hmm.
longing and the things that are unsaid.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
you know,
God.
The things that...
Are you a Libra?
I'm a Libra.
Oh my God! Like, you definitely
clocked that.
This.
No,
yeah.
but people do guess, because
yeah.
it's very, like...
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Actually, my birth chart even says, like, you will likely make a business out of your romanticism. And it was crazy. It's like literally like a birth chart that you enter on, like, Cafe Astrology.
Wow.
And it's, like, computer-generated. It was, like... Yeah, you're likely to create a business based off of like your romantic
That's pretty,
longing
like,
and yeah,
amazing.
It's like insane.
Yeah.
So it's like very written.
Written in the stars.
Written in the stars.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, it really stuck. I think like the short answer is because it's authentic to me. But like, if you know your followers are asking like how to, you know, build so that they can create a line of their own, it obviously like just put out what is easiest for you to put out, because
mm-hmm.
that's what you can be most consistent in. It's like
mm-hmm.
the same as working out. Like if you do a workout that you hate and you go once a week, it's
mm-hmm.
not going to get you the same results as like walking every day
mm-hmm.
for like
mm-hmm.
an hour and a half, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
it's just whatever is so easy for you to just be a maniac about.
Yeah.
Posting consistency, like even though the algorithms are changing, like that will never not matter. So
mm-hmm.
definitely that. And then also don't act like a business. Don't, you know, I think I always act like it. I acted like a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
I talked like a blogger, you know.
There's
all
more
of our
like
captions,
humanization to it.
Yeah.
And people can feel that and they want that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's like a friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, again, like grew up on Tumblr, and
mm-hmm.
my account on Tumblr was big also. And
yeah.
I would talk on it and people would, you know, like send me asks.
What would you talk about?
Like same shit. Like I would post some, like, I don't even know, like a quote or like a song
mm-hmm.
lyric I heard, and or like I would post something that I would like think I was like literally 13, but like it was just something emo.
Yeah,
and like
yeah, yeah.
someone would repost it and someone would respond to it, and then people would ask me about my love life, which at the time I had no idea what I had to say, but it's same.
What would you say now if someone asked you about all this?
What specifically?
Like, well, what they were asking, like, about your love life.
Oh, yeah. I would say, I mean, like, in the past few weeks, it's been really crazy.
Like, being back in New York.
Yeah. It's been crazy. I would literally probably be the same things I was saying when I was 13. Honestly, yeah. I think, like, I've just had a lot of relationships that have been long strung and on and off, and mm-hmm. it's always kind of been a theme,
mm-hmm.
like the what if.
Ugh, I hate that.
I know.
It's so,
I kind of love it.
Like, romanticize everything, and then I'm just like, am I naive?
No.
Or like, I'm just a romantic.
There's this quote. I forget the movie's name because it's kind of a weird name, but the film is with, like, Penelope Cruz, Scarlett Johansson, and Javier Bardem, and the quote is, the only love that's romantic is the love that's incomplete.
Oh.
I know.
Oh,
and
God.
So I think that I've, like, kind of been stuck in that, but, mm-hmm. I mean, with all, I am trying to grow out of it. But
do you think soulmates and the one are the same thing?
No. Also...
And also, do you believe in soulmates and or the one?
I believe in soulmates. When people talk about the one, I think marriage is inherently intertwined in that. And I'm not, I mean, I think marriage can be, like, super beautiful, but I don't really think that's, like, a one-size-fits-all thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is very specific and a specific type of life.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I guess I don't believe in the one. But I definitely believe in soulmates, and I definitely believe that there are very few people that will really, like, reach the pits of you and stay there, you know? Yeah.
Do you, like, want to get married? Or do you not know? Are you?
I don't. I kind of don't know. I, like, love the idea of having, like, an Eve Babbitts type.
What's,
like,
that?
She's a writer. She was, like, kind of, she's known for being, like, a, like, she grew up in LA, was kind of a nepo baby, and just was this glamorous party girl, but also this, like, beautiful writer, and
mm-hmm.
lived this really full and rich life with,
mm-hmm.
like, many loves of her life. And I think the only thing that, like, makes me hesitate whether if I would want to get married is I really want kids.
Mm.
And, you know, it's ideal to be super in love with your husband and show that to your child. But also, I think, in another way, it's ideal to be a woman and raise your child alone. I think that can also be, like, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've been talking about this recently with my friends. I've kind of, like, let go of the idea of, like, oh, I want to get married at this.
Yeah.
I don't really have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just, like, so pushed down our throats. It's like, you need to get married, and this has been a thing forever. I mean, I still think, I want to get married.
Yes. Yeah.
Even
as I said I had, like, anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
as
it's
I'm
so
like,
weird.
Oh my God, am I, like, proclaiming, like, something so, like, you know, it's just, even in the back of my head, it's like, you don't want to, like, say that out loud because are you giving up?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's tough, but, like, it's obviously so amazing and liberating if you don't want to get married and you own that shit. It's so much better than just following it or doing something because of societal pressure, and then you live the most unauthentic, unhappy life, and it's like,
absolutely.
That's not serving anyone.
Yeah, my mom got married when she was 21. Not to my dad, but to somebody else. Yeah. And I think I've always had that example. I mean, she got married when she was 21, was with that first husband for 10 years, and then within 6 months of that divorce, met my dad, and then got married a year later, so she's just, and they're divorced now. So, I've always, like, you know, obviously noticed that, and
yeah.
She comes from a very traditional, like, Iranian family,
mm-hmm.
and that was just such an assumption to be married. And I don't think that she ever considered like an alternative to that.
There was no other option, it was just like getting married.
Yeah, right. And for me, it's like, again, I still would. It's just that I am afraid of wanting to so much that I marry somebody that like I shouldn't be married to, just because I feel like I need to prove myself or something.
Yeah.
It's like
you want to get married if it's the right
person. 100% Yeah. And again, like being like a spinster, like that idea is so, I think, you know, it's like a failure, but it's not.
It's not.
Again, that's why I mentioned Eve Babbitt's, because she's just so fabulous. And
yeah.
I would like love to be like that.
Yeah. That is such a great take. Like just balanced. So Libra.
Ah,
so Libra.
Thanks.
Okay. So can you talk about how you manifested everything in your career?
Yeah.
And how you got there, and maybe talk a little bit about your state of being while manifesting and what your thought patterns were like, just your energy. And just talk about that.
Yeah. So I love your videos because you're very technique based. Like you have like, you know, these exercises that you can do to get in the zone. And I think everybody needs that, whether you believe in manifesting or not, like just, you know, like having like a routine or a ritual or something.
Yes.
But I would say that all the big picture things that I manifested in my life, my career being one of them, were with no active effort like that, but were with just my identity. And I think, you know, I've also seen videos about identity work, but you know, you're born, and I think you know who you are the most when you're a child, of course, because there's no kind of like gruff and dirt, you know, involved, and you're just fully yourself. And then throughout your life, you accumulate both good and bad feedback. And basically that kind of like filter of like how much good and how much bad is like how far you are from yourself, right? And I think I was really, really lucky, and my parents and like everything, you know, of course we can all criticize our parents. I certainly have my critiques, but they both really, really believed in me. Told me I could do anything, and told me I was wise, and told me I was smart, and that I was incredibly unique. I mean, my dad would really just hone in on like, trust me, like I've met a lot of people, like you're not like any of them. And it, you know, that voice becomes your subconscious, and that was
That's
just
so
the way I thought
incredible.
About myself, apparently, you know,
not
consciously though.
Right.
Like it's not
it's
like
also conscious.
Yeah. Like you said, I seem confident when we met. It's not that I'm like not confident, but I definitely like, you know, in my day to day life, I don't feel that like, you know, I don't feel how I would think an actual confident person feels like.
It's
but
just
it's
logged
in, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you picked up on is natural for me, and that's very lucky because I think, you know, a lot of people have like an air of not feeling like they have a purpose and stuff. I never didn't feel like I didn't have a purpose. I always felt viscerally that something special was going to happen, and that was it. It was like not something I consciously thought of. So like, I think when it comes to manifesting, it all boils down to what you really believe. And I think affirmations are great, but it's a band-aid if your identity isn't.
If your subconscious isn't there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then there's all this work that you can do on your subconscious mind too.
So how do you rewrite the limiting beliefs as well?
Because I do have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm trying to think of an example right now of something that I've had to like, I mean, like, I guess going back to like my romantic life, I kind of have a tendency to always look for something wrong in a person. And I'm kind of, you know, averse to being vulnerable. And like at the root of that, I think it's just like, of course, like that fear of like, well, what if I actually really get hurt by something real?
And like fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection and like rejection in the most intense sense of like what happens like when you're actually like in a long-term relationship, and if they fall out of love with you, if they leave you, if they, you know, whatever. And I've never even been exposed to that because I haven't been in a long-term relationship and experienced the ordinary day-to-day. And I think the thing that I have been working on is just feeling safe in like, okay, like if I'm not in the Hunger Games, if somebody is like trying to date me, like I can relax into that and I can handle like what it would be like to be left, or I don't know, for lack of a better term, but and then the way that I've kind of done that, I mean, I've worked with my therapist. My therapist is the one that pointed this out to me. She told me, she's like, you have an avoidant attachment style.
But I was literally gonna ask, that was my next question, do you know your attachment style?
So she was like, girl,
interesting.
Which is very interesting because like, again, my job, if you look at Moonkiss page, it's like, oh no, it's very funny. Very ironic. But so my therapist, though, she pointed out, and then she taught me EFT tapping. Which, like, if you can just get over yourself and, like, feeling embarrassed about it, it's, like, actually great. But, yeah, you kind of go, and then you, like, say the affirmations.
Do you do ones on YouTube, or where do you find
them? There's this one guy. He will show up if you – he has a tapping for
Is
everything.
It Brad?
I think Brad. He's so sweet. Yeah, so I do that, and she would, like, sometimes our therapy sessions would be, like, an hour of tapping through it. Yeah, because I had a lot of, like, stuff last year with men.
Wait, so what kind of changes did you notice after you started doing the EFT, and how long did it take for you to start seeing results, and what was your consistency? Like, tell me all about that.
Well, honestly, I mean, with, like, attachment styles, those things come up, like, in the moment. And so, like, I was super determined to fix it after, like, kind of my last situation, because I just felt so, like, oh my god, like, I could not believe, like, how I felt in in retrospect. You know, I was like, I can't, I, like, literally felt so suffocated that, like,
it's
crazy. You know, I just, you like somebody for so long, and then things actually start, you know, developing into something, and I, like, freaked the fuck out, and I backed out, and
really?
It had a lot of residual,
So,
I was,
Do
like...
Do you think you really liked him?
I don't know. Okay. I still don't know, but yes, I mean, I did. I shouldn't have, like...
Let it... Go.
In the way that I did. Yeah, I shouldn't have, like, I, like, jumped out of a moving car vibe. No, I didn't but, like, it's that vibe. But, you know what I mean? So,
would
I
you
after that.
Would you see, like, date him again? And, like, was it something
know.
That he was doing, or was it more, like...
No, he didn't do anything. I just think I wasn't in a place. I was just too scrambled. But I didn't know, like, what was actually happening. I think I just, it was just, you know, slowing down in this way that I didn't expect. I was surprised. So it was, like, kind of, that was, like, my motivation. I just felt so much guilt and, like, so much, you know. And so I was, like, doing the, oh, you asked how long, okay, results.
Yes.
Okay. The thing that I noticed, because again, it does come up in the moment.
Yeah.
You don't really have to try to fix yourself when you wake up every day. Like, we shouldn't even see ourselves like that, you know? But the thing that has helped is that now I know when I do feel like the trigger of, like, you know, like, this is, like, kind of getting into my zone, this is getting into my routine, like, my, I hyper boundaries, you know?
Like, when you want to start running away.
When I want to start running away. I will tap, and I'll, like, I do recognize the anxiety in my body as irrational now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's harder to convince myself that it's real now. Like, it's harder to convince myself, like, that I'm, like, thinking something valid. And I will say, though, at the end of the day, when that's happened, I ultimately didn't want to continue with, you know, like, I'm thinking of, like, a couple people that, you know, I felt that with. I ultimately didn't want to, but I didn't, it wasn't from a scrambled place anymore.
Right,
it was
right.
just like, okay, I actually don't think you're for me.
Yeah.
And now when I also, because I have, like, one of my best friends is also avoidant,
mm-hmm.
and I was just with her. She's been, like, seeing this guy who I think is really great for her,
yeah.
and, you know, like, not even in a, like, oh, he's a good guy, because that,
yeah.
it sucks, but I'm, like, yes, there's so many great guys that will want to date you that you won't want to date, and there's
yeah.
nothing really wrong with you. Like, sometimes
yeah.
there just isn't chemistry.
Well, you're not going to have a connection with
everybody.
That's why when you find
yeah.
a connection, it's so special, because you're not going to connect
absolutely.
With everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she was, like, I just don't know. Like, she kind of did that thing that you're, like, pointing out, like, what's, like, wrong with them and stuff. And when she was, like, saying, like, her, like, perceived flaws out loud, I was, like, wait, like, you know, I can't get into specifics, but
right.
it was so clear that it was, like, a loophole in her brain that she was trying to, like, say that was a fatal flaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't at
mm-hmm.
all. And I said that, and she's like, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she holds me accountable, too.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know?
That's so helpful to have friends who will just be real
yeah.
with you.
No,
because,
100%.
I mean, as a best friend, like, you want to be protective, you want to be supportive, which is great. But I also think it is, and not everyone can do this either. Like, not everyone can be honest with you and just be like, Yasmin, like, you're not thinking rationally.
Right, right.
Like, I love you, and, like, okay, maybe he's not right for you, but, like, this is not a rational
mm-hmm.
way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important to have people
it's
who will
so
check
important.
You like that, because a lot of people don't. Like,
yeah.
a lot of people won't. They'll just be like, oh my god, yeah, that's so weird. Like, that's so annoying. Don't. Whatever.
100%. Yeah. Especially just, like, the language of, like, TikTok and stuff. It's, like,
oh my God,
you go on and
he's
just, like,
thing.
He's toxic, like, he's this,
yeah.
he's that. And I think also being aware that there's, like, a name and, like, I don't want to say diagnosis because that makes it sound like a disease, but that there is a term for the way I feel in regards to
yeah.
intimacy and commitment,
yeah.
you know, having that and then, like, sharing that with my friends when I figured that out in therapy and, like, asking what theirs are
yeah.
and, like, actually having something to refer back to that's universal is, like, a good way to hold people accountable, because it's, like, people do get offensive if it feels, or defensive if
yes.
it feels personal, you
oh,
know?
Definitely, yeah.
So it's, like, oh, like, do you think that this is, like, maybe this coming up for you?
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I also just want to say, like, yeah, like, we all need to work on ourselves and be aware of these things, but I got a little too fixated on, like, trying to fix this, and I think it was, like, working in the antithesis of,
mm-hmm.
and I think we just have to, like, be aware of it, and ultimately, I mean, even my therapist said, she's just, like, you can't really, like, heal your attachment style until you're in a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, like, heal it before.
Mm-hmm. That's what my therapist says, too. She's, like, relationships are fertile ground for
totally.
Doing all the healing and
yeah.
the inner work.
She, because the first time, like, we started that work and then, like, things were coming up in my dating life. And I was like, why am I still getting triggered? I'm doing, like, my tapping. Like,
I'm fucking tapping!
I'm, like, doing it. And she was just like, well, the trigger is, like, when the work starts.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you shouldn't measure how far you've come by, oh my god, fuck, like, I just got triggered again. That means I didn't
mm-hmm.
make any progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, like, this is the time
mm-hmm.
that you should do it. And,
yeah.
yeah. And I'm still, like, I still flop all the time.
I mean, same.
Yeah.
same. And I'm now in a long, I guess it's long term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
serious relationship.
Yeah, I'm in a serious relationship. And it has already been so confronting.
Mm,
like,
yeah, confronting is a really good word.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
my dad said that to me about, like, his relationship, and he was like, it's still confronting for
wow.
him. Like, my
yeah.
parents are both divorced. Like, they're divorced
yeah.
and they're both remarried. But it really does shine light on all of your shadows. Like, things that
yeah.
I was so afraid to ever come up
yeah.
have come up. And it's like working with that, like the triggers that I've had from past relationships have all come up. And it's on, and I've never had to deal with it before. So I've never known like how to communicate through it, how to handle it. And it's all just like a learning lesson where I thought I had this shit healed and it's not.
Right.
And it's just insane.
Yeah.
But I've gotten into tapping. It's not like my everyday, but I've done tapping on like anxiety, on unworthiness, like things like that. And I just like, I do feel better. It was interesting you said that you feel the anxiety in your body kind of subside,
mm-hmm.
or you can kind of feel it. Like
it's about safety.
Yeah.
Like, especially for me, I guess like not, that is maybe specific to me, but I think I literally feel like I'm being hunted. Like when I get
like
those triggers, like so flight, like I'm such a flighter.
Wow.
That like, it's really like, if you are a flighter, you need to feel like I'm actually safe to just sit here. And I guess actually if even like for people that are anxious attachment, you do need to feel safe in just sitting there and like just being where you are, because for them, it's like the urge of like getting closer.
Right.
Which I also do understand in some context too. Like
I
felt
like
that too.
Fully anxious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very anxious.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear like the avoidance side.
Right.
Like your instinct is to just get up and go.
Yeah.
So like what do you need?
Like in the moment, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I do need space for sure when I'm feeling like suffocated or activated. That's actually such a good word. When I'm activated, I need space. I also just need the person to let me know that like if I do take space, they won't hate me. Like that would be ideal. I would like love to hear that. But in terms of what's in my control, I just need to, like again with the tapping, like that just literally tells your body somatically, you are not in danger, you can be here, and you don't need to actively do anything to get out of this feeling. Like you can actually be in this feeling and you're still like everything around you is in control, you know.
That's
in that
so
sense.
Interesting to like hear your like why you use tapping.
Yeah,
because some people will tap like for millions of dollars, or like some people like subconscious reprogramming. But you can only reprogram your subconscious mind when you are in a state of state. Like you can't be in fight or flight.
Oh yeah,
your
you have
nervous
to be
system
calm.
Has to be regulated.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that you use it as like a. I like that you said somatic, because it is somatic.
It's somatic.
You're doing it through your body, and that was something that I just started talking to my therapist about. Is instead of trying to ease my anxiety through my thoughts, because that's never going to work. I'm just like in a loop. She's like, why don't you try going through your body and trying somatic healing practices to get into your body and out of your head, instead of trying to like make the anxiety go away through your thoughts alone. Like do it through your body.
You're brave.
Which is, yeah.
I like, it's true. It's so hard to get a grip on your head when you're already in an anxious state. And my mom sent me this like crazy reel on Instagram of somatic exercises, and like apparently like going into fetal position is actually like instantly calming, because like that's obviously like when we were fetus like this. And another one is like if you put your legs on a wall and lay like, or even on your bed and put it on the headstand, like all the blood rushes to your brain, which calms you down. There's a bunch of stuff like that. I've only done tapping, and then like everybody actually has self-soothing stuff. Like if you pay attention to, you know, if you like are at a dinner, or maybe you're in a group setting, like maybe somebody will be going like this,
or like
stroking
this.
Their own arm, which I definitely do. But people are always trying to calm themselves down. It's just, I think like you can like look at yours, what you do, and like either just do it more or like take time intentionally instead of like passively.
Yeah,
because your body's already trying to do it, so might as well just like do more of. Yeah,
I find that so interesting, like the mind-body connection, because I've always been into health and wellness and fitness, and one of the buzzwords is the mind-body connection. And I always was just kind of like, okay, I get it. It was, I had the same idea towards breath work. I was like,
Yeah.
How can breathwork really, like, we're always breathing. Like, what kind of difference does it make? Until you actually have the experience of, like, okay, I'm going to just start with my body, because your body knows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your body knows before you do.
Yeah.
Which is...
And it keeps the score.
Yes. After. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
And it stores it.
Yeah.
And it... Yeah. So, I just think, like, work... that's one of my personal goals, is to kind of work with my body more.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to it. Like, listen to what it's trying to say. But it's hard. Like, it's like learning a new... language.
And it's like, be prepared to like actually cry and like be emotional.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, I just read that like taking short breaths signals to your brain that you're like in a stress state, and most of us take short breaths, so like apparently that's like a very modern thing, is that we like
mm-hmm.
It's, I actually have like a deviated septum, so I can't breathe out of this nostril.
Oh no.
And I literally think I'm gonna, after learning about breath work, I think I'm gonna get surgery and like get that fixed.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, the fact that I can't feel like
yeah
a full breath is like, after what I've learned, is like so insane. And it apparently does like create like more higher cortisol levels if you don't breathe.
Well, maybe that's why you have that like,
maybe I don't have an avoidant attachment. Maybe I just have a deviated septum.
Yes.
Maybe. It would definitely help.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about like the relationship between love and career, or like love relationships to money and career?
Yeah.
Because I know that we discussed that kind of before, but like it is so connected.
Totally.
And I see it connected as your sense of self-worth,
yeah,
like your career, what you, it also goes back to identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always had that kind of grounded sense of identity of like, I'm smart, I'm wise, I can do anything. And that is high self-esteem, high self-worth.
Right.
So in career, you're able to flourish because that's just how you are. That's just how you are.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you say that the love money connection works, or how do you see it?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to mind when you asked about the correlation between love and career was that when I have feelings for somebody, and in that like first beginning era, that's the most motivated I am in my whole life,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
to like get my shit together basically. And also after like breakups, like the whole like figuring your shit out after.
Yes, yeah.
And I can trace some of my, like, most workaholic time periods to, like, directly after a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, at the beginning of liking somebody. Because I think for me, it's, like, a hyper-independence thing. I'm, like,
mm-hmm,
I'm just, you know, like, it is connected, because it's, like, the avoidant thing of, like, I need my life to be so my own,
mm-hmm,
that... like, I'm not relying on anybody, because innately, like, when you like somebody, they have so much control over your moods,
mm-hmm,
over, like, you know, where you want to live. Like,
yeah.
I've had a lot of situations that are, like, they don't live in the same state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, it just, it pulls you in this way that makes everything else seem unimportant. So,
yeah,
the correlation for me has always been, like, if I ever feel like I'm in that state, I'm, like, the most workaholic freak.
That's so fascinating.
You'll ever meet.
How do you get over heartbreak?
Like,
what's your first initial response?
And my, okay, my first initial response is when you meet somebody else.
Yeah.
That is just how I really, in the real way, have gotten, like, stopped seeing somebody's face everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Even as an avoidant.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, like, being avoidant, like, it's not like a, like, oh, like, I don't care. I think it's more of, like, the delays of your reactions,
mm-hmm,
and how the other, the person on the other side doesn't see how much you care about them,
mm-hmm,
but you feel it. I mean, I do,
mm-hmm,
on the inside,
mm-hmm,
and it just doesn't translate well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, I think like people with anxious attachment styles have a way easier time healing like after a breakup, because they got it all out of their system while they were in the relationship. Whereas like if you're avoidant, it hits you after.
Mm-hmm.
And
how far after?
Just depends. But like it's, I think like a hallmark is just like if you hear that they are dating somebody else, or like maybe like you just get like hit with nostalgia, or maybe you do start seeing someone else and then they don't really like compare, it doesn't hit the same, or you know, it just does catch up to you.
But
of course everybody's different, but that's the way I experience it. I feel like I've also dated avoidant guys though, that like, I mean, I guess I don't know what they were experiencing on their end, but it definitely seemed like they never cared at all. That's not my experience.
I feel like that's like a trait with avoidant guys, is like it, or avoidance, it just comes off as like this ambivalence,
like nonchalant,
apathy, doesn't care.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm also just so intense that like, I do think it's so crazy that, because I have had like guys say to me like, oh, I didn't even know you liked me.
Yeah.
I'm like, how?
Yeah.
I honestly that does confuse me, but I guess like I do like the space thing, like maybe that is what gets them. But
what kind of space do you need?
I just like can't see somebody every day, and like I freak out when that starts happening, and like it also though, it's not always like them, like it's not always the dynamic of like they're obsessive. Like honestly, that's only been like a few times where I feel like they've actually by fact been overbearing. But like also if I am seeing somebody that is in the avoidant box, like I do also create space out of self-preservation, and I don't even know if that's like wrong, but it's a thing that makes them think that I don't like them.
Okay.
But it's definitely self-preserving, and like a, like I'm not sure how you feel, so I don't want to like,
it's like a protection.
I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm like with somebody that like I don't know how you feel.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to that like core thing, like that core fear of like fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, which I think everyone has, like unless you're like a totally secure person,
right.
But like, I don't think I've ever met a fully secure person.
No.
Like, I think it's such a spectrum.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just fucking hard.
I know.
It's really hard.
And it's like, my best friend is secure. And I've asked her, I'm like, okay, so what would you do if, like, because she's always been in long-term relationships, I'm like, what would you do if, like, one morning they, like, woke up and you were just, like, they were just, like, not interested in you anymore? And she's like, well, that would suck. But that was, like, she's like, that would just suck. Like, damn, I guess we gotta
bring that
up.
She doesn't take it personally.
It's like, yeah, it's, like, the story. You also, so going back to, like, how I got over somebody, the real answer, fun fact, I worked for a breakup life coach when I was in social media. Breakup coach Dorothy.
Wait, did you learn so much from her?
So much. She's amazing. She started her work when she had gotten out of like a 9-year relationship or 7-year or something. And like just in her journey became a life coach and decided to specialize in breakups and like how to really get over somebody. And I would say like the hallmark and her catchphrase is, breakups are not about time. It's not about how much time something takes.
Mm-hmm.
Time will not heal you, which is like the opposite of like what you
look
for in.
Yeah.
But she's so right, because it's not time that heals you. It's the story you tell yourself about, you know, the breakup and the person, and the story you tell yourself about yourself in relation to the breakup. And I think that is like also a real way that I've gotten over people, because time is never an answer I'd give you because it's taken a very long time.
Yeah.
And like certain, again, like with the incomplete love thing, like,
right.
It's taken until I meet somebody else in those situations. If I'm, you know, and
that always helps.
Always helps. Yeah. But even then, if you meet somebody else, but your story about your last breakup is like so self-deprecating, that's going to shadow that relationship. And in that way, you're not over
them. You're not fully present. You're still comparing them.
Yeah. And like, you probably are thinking about them even when you're.
Yeah.
If your story isn't fixed, like,
I feel like that's how you know you're not over someone, which is okay.
Yeah, which
to
is
like
okay.
Not be.
But I mean, like, I know that if I like dialed into Dorothy's podcast and her work again, I would I would, you know, resolve some things, but I don't know, the stubborn heart, like,
what did you learn from her? What were, like, some big takeaways?
She has a method of, like, writing down the first thought you have. It's kind of like the Byron Katie.
Yeah,
of, like, is it really true? So you write down the thought that you're having that is likely irrational. You write it down, and it's kind of a process of, like, is it really true? How can I know that it's true? It's mm-hmm. not that exactly, but mm-hmm. it is very similar to Byron Katie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that method of thinking of, like, questioning my thoughts is, like, what really helped about her. And then also just, like, she is seeing how much she loves her life now, and she just got married, and how much she loves her life now when she committed to getting over somebody that she thought she could never get over. It's just, like, a testament to, like, okay, your life, like, you're not gonna, like, love the boy that you loved when you're 19 forever, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he's not the love of your life, mm-hmm. and if somebody leaves you or hurts you in a serious way, that's not somebody that you can, like, commit to missing forever, mm-hmm. you know? It's just, mm-hmm. that's your answer. You don't have to, like, go
yeah.
about it any way.
Yeah.
You just
have to accept that.
You do have to get over it.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, that's just not the person.
It's not your person.
No.
Because if it was your person, like, you guys
that
would
just wouldn't
choosing.
Have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have happened.
I feel like that, honestly,
yeah.
that's so rational, and it's so true.
Yeah.
It's, like, if someone is not choosing you, it's not a reflection of you.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, I mean, maybe it does, but, like, but everyone is a projection of their own experiences. Like, you don't know what they've been through growing up. Like, it could be their
yeah,
own insecurities.
Exactly.
Like, it's always a projection. And in the Four Agreements, they say, like, never take anything impersonal.
Personally.
Because it is never about you, ultimately. So if someone is not choosing you, like,
right.
it's just not your person. And that's okay. Like, thank you for revealing that to me. And now I can, like, it hurts, be with the hurt, tap through the hurt.
Right.
But, like, it's a blessing in disguise because
right.
there's someone out there who
is. And it's
aligned.
Just, like, a matter of time, even though, like, it's not time that fixes you, but you can just believe kind of foreseeably, like, okay, like, I have gotten over somebody in the past, so I know I can get over another person.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
using yourself.
That's
like,
why first love heartbreaks are hard. I didn't get
yeah.
over, like, mine for, like,
yeah.
it was, like, on and off, but, like, for
same.
Years.
Yeah.
So, it that's hard because you have no evidence in yourself, but just, like, look at evidence of other people.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not a special case.
Exactly.
Like, he's
exactly.
not a special case. Like,
yeah.
it's fine.
That's such a good reminder. Like,
yeah.
for anyone going through it, it's
yeah.
gonna be okay. It's always gonna be okay.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, hearing other people's stories is always good.
Right.
Just expansion. Because when your subconscious can see, like, oh, this is possible for someone else, it shows you what's possible for you.
Yeah, and, like, you know, there's nothing so specifically dreadful about, like, you personally, that somebody, like, if you don't feel loved as
mm-hmm.
much as you love someone, like, that's not just a you problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just listen to any song, like, that's
yes.
ever been written.
Yes.
Like, you're just part of
the collective.
The collective. Yeah.
yeah.
No one's immune from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, we've been going for a minute. I think I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay,
and then we can wrap. What do I want to ask you? I feel like you just dropped so much, like, we had kind of an outline of where we
yeah.
wanted to go, but of course it just, like, took its own legs and started doing its own thing. I feel like you have a very, we've talked about, like, masculine, feminine energy, like, I feel like you have, like, that black cat attractive energy.
Thanks.
What would you say is your biggest tip for cultivating that?
I think everyone just needs to lean into their own archetype of, like, I guess seduction or whatever, but I think, like, I've always been into the, like, I like things in between the lines, and,
mm-hmm.
like, I love, like, I was, like, picking up, like, wizardology books when I was, like,
mm-hmm.
six, and, like, it's just always been like that,
yeah.
where I've, like, liked, like, darker, like, different things,
mm-hmm.
like, whatever
mm-hmm.
it may be. So I think, I mean, first I would say just be yourself,
mm-hmm.
but if you do want to tap into the dark feminine energy, I think just like know like how much you can do as a woman. Like, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You literally can get away with so much just
mm-hmm.
being a woman. Like, it, and just know how
powerful
that is.
Yeah.
It really is like the world would not turn. Like, everything happens because of and for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just saying
that. That is so powerful to just remember your inherent worth of, like, you are a woman, and that is powerful in itself. And,
right.
like, do not forget the power
right.
that holds.
If you can't think of it in, like, a personal way, if you're having, like, a low confidence day, like, zoom out and think of it in a universal sense of, like,
we
bring you don't,
life
like, you don't have
world.
To be the most beautiful
yeah.
or the most anything. You don't have to be the most anything. It's just you're... You inherently are given this insane power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what a great way to end.
Yeah,
yes. That was so
I loved
good.
It. It was
I
so
love
good.
This. I hope you guys loved it just as much as we did. And I think you'll have to come back for part two.
I would love to.
We have so many things that we still want to talk about. So thank you guys for watching, and I will see you next week on a new episode of Synced Up. Bye!